need a I'm proud of you moment from my daughter because...
Or what?
I have just made this week my very own batch of sourdough crackers.
Oh, yes.
So any of you don't know, my daughter is a baker. Yes. She has Kiki's Bakehouse and does sourdough bread. And I sometimes help her with classes. And the joke has always been in the class that mother, myself, have kept a sourdough starter alive for a year, but never made a loaf of
bread.
Not once. Right. Until about 2 weeks ago, I made my very own first loaf of bread. I might have had Kelsey on speed dial and had to call her several times and send her several texts.
But you really didn't ask me that many questions. I'll give you that.
I felt like I could hear you in my head saying, if you would have read the instructions, I sent you.
No.
But then I got really adventurous this week and I made sourdough crackers.
Which I have never even made myself.
And they were pretty
good. They were good. They were really good. I tasted them.
They were gone in 24 hours. So that should be an indication of how much everyone liked them here. And it was a pretty
good
size.
I'm proud of you. I am proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So now you can no longer say, oh, well, I just can't bake bread. Because you did.
I did.
And the boys said they loved it.
Now I no longer get, not that you class shame me, but I always felt like, oh, here I am.
Now you can say,
yes, I'm helping her. No, I've never made sourdough.
I haven't even taken the class, but I know how to make it.
Yeah, I'm an old pro.
You take the class every time.
Yeah, you think I would definitely know by now.
So funny.
Anyway, fun.
Well, today we are not talking about sourdough crackers or anything sourdough related. We are going to talk about unity in marriage.
Yes.
I'm super excited for this topic. This is going to be a two-parter. So this week is going to be part one. Next week is going to be part two. Today's episode is going to be, we are just scratching the surface. I'm talking a little bit more from a fresh perspective. I've been married for about 2 years to my husband, Jordan. We're 24. We don't have kids. So kind of a little more of just like, here's what I have learned so far. And here is like the fresh revelation I'm getting about this. And then next week, we're going to dive deeper and glean more from mom's experience and her years of experience.
And I have been married to my handsome husband, Jamie, for 26 years. We'll be 27 years in July. And we have, of course, two children, Kelsey being one of them, and our son, Jaden. So we have had many seasons of life and ups and downs and a lot of opportunities to grow in unity in our marriage as well.
Y'all have done a lot of life. You know,
we have worked through some stuff.
You've experienced a lot more of unity in practice. But just to jump into it, we're first just want to talk about the biblical importance of unity in marriage. To me, this is like the main thing.
Yes.
Obviously, everyone does the like unity candles at their wedding and stuff like that. But there's actually so many scriptures about a husband and a wife being united. There's Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It says the same thing in Ephesians 5:31. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then again in Mark 10:8. And the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh.
Yes.
So unity is actually a foundational principle of marriage, and this is ordained by the Lord. This joining, it's mental, emotional, physical, and sexual for both people. It's designed by God as a oneness that no other human relationship comes close to.
That's right.
And I think people get a little tripped up on the, like, leaving my mother and father. Like, what does this mean? You turn away from them and you never talk to them again. No, that's not what this means. It doesn't mean you are severing your relationship with your parents. It really just means that the order of things is changing, right? So instead of I'm honoring my parents above all else, it's, okay, I'm now forming my own family.
Yep.
And my husband or my wife, if you're a husband listening, my spouse is my first priority aside from the Lord. It's my first priority. And everything else comes after. And even I think this enhances your relationship with if your parents are married. Then you have a new understanding of their relationship because you're experiencing it in your own way.
That's good.
So biblical unity just...
I think there's power when we understand that that is how God created the marriage unit to work as one. And that requires a lot of work and a lot of intentionality. It doesn't just happen because we say, I do.
No.
And
it's not automatically downloaded.
It's not a one and done. We're in Unity. We're good to go.
Yeah.
It's a process and a journey where we both have to show up. We both have to do the work. And I know we're going to talk further about that today.
Yeah. And Unity is honoring your spouse and being on their team and all that good stuff. So if we talk about the psychological importance of Unity, I think a lot of people misunderstand Unity. Even the metaphor and the visual demonstration of those two candles becoming one, it's kind of signaling you blow out your candle and become this new one. So people maybe have a perception that you rid of yourself and become this whole new marriage thing. Like, no. Yeah. Unity is when you are celebrating two people combining together, and it is the strength of both of them individually coming together. So like unity is very different from uniformity. Uniformity implies conformity, which is where a person suppresses themselves. But if you see a marriage in which you completely lose your sense of identity and you're just all about your husband, that's codependency and that's very unhealthy. Like that becomes bad. So a really healthy marriage is when people, you are an individual, you're bringing your full identity to the marriage, but you have a sense of surrender to this union that you have as a whole.
Yeah. It's letting go of some selfishness, but not letting go of self.
Yeah.
And even it's like that core part of who we are is not compromised, but we actually get to celebrate one another.
Exactly. It's not giving up who you are completely, but it's like coming humbly and saying, I submit my desire, like I'm submitting that to this marriage, and I am serving you as my spouse.
Sure. And that sometimes does include compromises, but not compromising of who we are, I think.
No. Yeah. No. You don't want to lose yourself. This also brings me to, like, you and your spouse are on the same team. This is like a cheesy saying that I'm sure you might have heard, but it's really true. It's not you and me against each other. It's you and me against the world.
Yeah.
Which is like a funny thing to say, but it's very true. You're joining together and you are becoming a team.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest compliments that Jordan and I get is that you guys are such a team and you have each other's backs. And I'm like, well, yeah. Like in my mind, like marriage is, we have each other's back no matter what. I have a funny story.
Yes.
About this. So I think this is either when we were like engaged or when we were first married, or maybe dating. I don't know. But we were at Target and Jordan was like, babe, run this way. I'm like, okay. So I just followed him and ran. And then after we got around the corner, I'm like, why do we do that? And he was like, I love you. I was like, what? And he's like, the fact that you just knew to listen to me and run and then ask questions and not ask questions, like that was amazing. And it's just kind of that, well, like, yeah.
Where are you running from?
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know.
Somebody.
In all honesty, it could have been someone that he didn't want to talk to. Or like, I don't know. It wasn't like a runaway. It was just like, come over here. So, but the point was, I trust you with my whole life. So I'm going to, I'm just going to do what you ask of me. And then I'll maybe ask questions later. But like, as my husband, I'm submitted to you. So yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So that's like a more funny version of like, being on the same team, like I understand we're doing the same things together.
I think the potential too, and this is something that we wrestled with in our marriage in the early years of sometimes instead of being with each other and working together, being at each other. Like not in unity. Or Jamie has said this, like, I don't want you to pull your sword at me.
Yeah.
You know, I want us to be able to pull things and work together.
Lock
you know?
Arms and sword against each
exactly.
other.
Exactly. Against the world. Not against each other, against the world.
Yeah.
So I think that's, if I were to look back on those years and go, I wish I had understood unity better. I wish I had known the power that would happen if we were in unity. But I think back then I didn't have a good, healthy version of myself. And so I felt this need to always prove myself right. Or to be a people pleaser, especially. And so that caused a lot of disunity in our marriage for many years because I felt this need to prove something rather than to say, hey, we are here together.
Yeah.
And creating that place where we can both stand arm in arm and feel connected and feel that we're the greatest champion of one another.
Would you say that like that's almost the opposite extreme of what I was talking about when you lose your sense of identity? That was more, I so am holding fast to like my individuality that it's not like submitting that right to prove yourself, or no?
Yeah, I think part of it was there was a desire to be seen and to be valued.
Mm.
Probably some brokenness from childhood.
Yeah.
And so instead of like being confident in us, it's like I am trying to prove myself to you.
Yeah. So all those issues were just like
Yeah, so then it became like a thing at each other instead of recognizing, hey, we're both broken people, but let's link arms and I'm going to sit with you while you sit with me and we're going to work through this stuff.
Yeah.
Now that's the place we're at now in our lives. So there's always hope for change and God can do things in your lives, but that requires work and that requires, you know, a choice to like partner with that unity in your marriage.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
No, yeah. Okay. That's exactly. That reminds me of like when I was going through a rougher season, and I'm pretty a self-aware person, but in this season I think I was less self-aware of what was going on. And so all of my internal issues were kind of spewing out at Jordan.
Right.
And almost like, or it's almost like I was creating issues between us and kind of coming at him to like explain or justify the turmoil inside. Right. I needed like an outlet and I didn't know a healthy way to do it. So then it quickly became me and him against each other. We're not really fight, like scream fighters. So we weren't like yelling at each other, but a lot of heavier discussions of like, well, you're not doing this and you're not, and whatever. And when the truth is that he was like, babe, like I kindly, I don't really think that that's actually what's going on.
Right.
Like he's like, I'm willing to admit if there's things, you know, that we need to work on or that I'm doing, but he's like, I think this is more about, I need to come alongside you and support you as you work through this. So even that shift of like, oh,
how did you respond to that?
You're right. With tears. And it was very hard for me to go, I'm a very strong person and oh, I'm going to cry. So, guys, I'm really emotional, but sometimes they really catch me off guard. That one caught me off guard.
Tears are welling up over here.
I'm a pretty strong person and I'm usually the person helping other people with things.
Mm.
And that's like one of the biggest reasons why I love Jordan so much is he sees me and sees when I need extra help. And he almost forces me to take the help because I'm so stubborn and so used to just like being the fixer and being the whatever.
Yeah.
And that was the time when he really went like, babe, I think I'm good. And I like, we're good. I need to, what do you need from me? Like, what do you need to feel supported? And so just realizing that we got married to do life together, to join in unity and join as a team. And I'm not claiming to be an expert. Like I said, we've only been married for about 2 years, but that's a compliment we get a lot from outside people that don't even know us very well.
I like, see that a lot.
You guys are a team.
I can attest to that.
And
I think
I appreciate that.
It says a lot about the work and the things that you guys have chosen to do in setting the foundation in your marriage in these early years. You know what I mean?
Thanks.
So
I'll be gleaned from those.
So proud of you.
Those more married than us.
Yeah, I hope you learn from our mistakes.
Well, it's both. Yeah.
I mean, we all make mistakes. So I'm not.
I feel like Jordan's done a really good job at this of seeking out people that have been married for longer than us and asking them like, oh, what would you say to, you know, someone who's new? Oh, what would you, and then implementing that. Like he's always kind of actively looking to the Bible, to the Lord, and to those that he admires, like, what can I do to be a better husband?
Yeah. He's a great man.
Not to toot Jordan's horn, but also I love my husband.
Son in love.
So that's a little bit about just like what unity is. But now we kind of want to talk about how do you protect your unity? How do you grow your unity?
Mm-hmm.
This is probably where we'll spend a bit more time.
Yeah.
We've kind of touched on it before, but that knowing your identity and working to be healthy yourself, Oh my goodness. Huge. I don't know if you've heard people say like marriage is just like your spouse is suddenly your mirror. And things that you've gotten accustomed to doing or ways you've thought, they're like, why are you like that? And you're like, oh, I don't know. I've never noticed that I'm like that before. Yeah. And you can't love your spouse well if you're not working on yourself and pursuing the Lord for yourself as an individual, right? Like, I cannot come fully as I am if I don't know who I am.
That's
good. And not to say that you won't go through seasons that are tougher, but your spouse should not be the person that is fueling your identity. That should be the Lord. And you need to, like, you work on things together, but you also work on getting healthy yourself.
Yes.
Another thing, just for this, I almost said grunity, to protect unity and grow unity, is to pursue the Lord together. So have those individual times, but have a time together. And honestly, if I'm being very vulnerable, Jordan and I have not done this well until like a few months ago, because I think we just felt awkward. I'm like, what do we do? I don't know. Some people, it's different the way, you know, they come together and in their atmosphere and stuff. But pray out loud together, have worship times together,
take communion together,
read the Bible together out loud, read it separately, and then come back together. Or even just like be intentional, say, hey, what's the Lord been teaching you this week?
Yeah.
Because that's also a good accountability if your spouse has not been reading their Bible or having their own time. They're like, oh, well, he's not been teaching me anything because I haven't talked to him. Yeah. So you're like, well, babe, maybe we should do that. Maybe you should talk to the Lord. And the next part of growing unity, connection. I think
there's a theme word going
here. Oh, my goodness. Connection. We have talked about it before. In general, and we'll talk about it again. Like, that's kind of one of those things. This is more a little bit pulling on practicals and pulling on research that I've come across in studying for my master's in professional counseling. The Gottmans, if you know anything about marriage therapy, marital therapy, you may have heard their names. Yes. They have like done so much research about emotional connection and all sorts of things. They have these like 7 principles that help keep marriages happy and stable over time that like are all connection focused. So I'm just going to go over them briefly. I'm not going to go in depth about them. They have a ton of resources. You can look them up. But 1 is enhance love maps. This just means like be aware of what's going on in their world. Ask questions about your husband's day, your wife's day. You know, don't be like, oh, I have no idea what they do for work. Like, you know, try to be intentional just to know what's going on in their world, what do they need, that sort of thing. 2 is to nurture fondness and admiration for each other. I feel like that's a little bit self-explanatory, you know, just like expressing how you love them and just thinking upon the good things, you know.
This could be in some practical ways, like you actually turned me on to this, but on Amazon, they have those shower notes.
Yes.
It's like a
shower love notes.
It's just Aqua a
love
notepad.
That's what they're called.
And it has a pencil. And so I actually went to Jordan Kelsey's and saw it there. It was their shower curtain was open. It was sitting right there. I was like, oh, that's really sweet. So I don't know, maybe a year later, I got one for our shower. And we've had fun just writing each other love notes back and forth.
Which is so funny. Someone got that for us as a wedding gift.
Oh, cool.
And we're not really mushy, love notey type of people. And I kind of put it up there as like a joke. I'm like, oh, yeah. But actually, it's my favorite because we have used it like just for sweet notes back and forth. And we've also started using it this year, just taking a moment and asking the Lord, hey, do you have anything to say like to Jordan? And I'll write like, hey, the Lord said this to me today on there. So then we have these little, you know, just little fun things that's like of being intentional towards each other.
Or send them a text. Like there's so many little ways you can do that.
Oh my goodness. We could talk about that for a whole podcast.
Even if, you know, the kids are screaming around you, it takes 2 seconds to say, love you, babe, or appreciate you working hard for our family.
Yeah, you're a great dad. You're a great mom. Just think your thoughts out loud, okay, people? Yep, sometimes.
There you go.
3, principle 3 is to turn toward each other instead of away and let them influence you. So that's kind of what we were talking about earlier, you know, turning towards each other as a team, not turning away and being like, don't talk to me. Principle 4 is to manage conflict. Talk about things before they snowball into giant knockout, drag out, what is it called? Knockdown, drag out?
Yeah. Knockdown, drag out fights. Yeah.
The more that you talk about things, even someone told us this, like, I think this was advice we got like a few months into marriage. They were like, bro, someone told Jordan, bro, talk about the little things. Like if the way she's leaving her towel somewhere bothers you, talk about it.
Yeah.
Because the quicker that you address little conflicts, then you won't have bigger conflicts. And that person was sharing from the perspective of we waited. And then after a year, we blew up at each other with all these things.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so what's bothering you, babe? Like,
yeah.
He's like, you always leave the bathroom light on. And I was like, what? I didn't even know I was doing it. But I think in my head, I'm like, we lived like an apartment. We live in a different one now. But I was like, well, apartment is just all one room, basically. It's yeah. one big box. So what does it matter if I'm in the kitchen and the bathroom's light on? And he was like, it just really bothers me. I'm like, okay, I got it. So I'll now be more intentional. And he's like, what do I do? I'm like, you leave your wet towel on the bed. Like, we do not need a wet duvet. Just hang it up. It's like two steps. So even though it's funny things, it's like those little irritations, we've never had a problem since then.
Yeah.
I'm not going, oh, that freaking towel. It's just like, oh, cool.
Yeah. I think when you can talk about it and disarm it, it quickly becomes a little thing rather than a big
yes.
thing. And our counselor said to us recently, and I think this is so true, he's like, home should be the place where you get to hang your armor up.
Yeah.
Not feel like you have to armor up to be at home.
Yes.
So creating that safety for one another.
Yeah.
And having those honest conversations. There's a way to have those conversations where you can be in unity and honor one another.
100%.
So that it doesn't get to that point where you're...
Yeah. Because also, I think if you let these little things fester... Instead of it being, oh, I'm mildly irritated that you've left your towel on the bed, it snowballs into this whole feeling and accusation of like, well, you don't care about our house.
Yeah.
What? Like, it's so not true, but you've suddenly attached all these small actions to an assumption now about their behavior. So
I will say, too, on another end of that spectrum, as I've gotten older and we've been married longer, a question I ask myself sometimes when I'm feeling frustrated or feeling like, ugh, I'm like, does it really matter? Does it really matter that he left his socks by the side of the bed?
Yeah.
I'm happy to serve and just pick them up. It takes 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we like purposely stir the waters to just make an issue out of something that really doesn't need to be an issue. And I'm not saying don't talk about things if they're a problem.
Yeah.
But also, it can be very easy to just start nitpicking about
yes.
everything. And so I've personally like learned to just make some choices and been like, you know what? I actually don't care. And I'm not saying to contradict
what you're saying,
but there is that like the longer you've been, either it gets worse and you start nitpicking about everything. And
yeah.
I have done that in seasons too, and I've been too critical
mm-hmm.
where now it's like, okay, actually what's more important to me is unity
yeah.
in our marriage. So I'm not going to make an issue about the little things that don't
yeah.
actually matter or the fact that you left your plate on the table or
yeah.
whatever. Like, just, okay, great.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so grateful we have a house that
yes.
I can put this dish in this dishwasher.
Yeah.
I'm grateful my husband's here at the table with
yeah.
me because there are other people who are maybe just praying for a husband.
Yes.
So sometimes
yes.
when we put things back in perspective, and I know like life happens, you get tired, you know, the kids are running, like
mm-hmm.
things add to our frustrations.
Yeah.
But ultimately, when we're like, okay, I actually value unity between us more than
yeah.
I do things being in a perfect
yes.
order.
And you know what else? I'm actually glad that you said that because I was using that like a silly practical example, but that's not truly what I was meaning. What I'm meaning
sure.
when I'm saying talk about little things, I'm using that as an example.
Sure.
But it's more like, say one thing they said hurt your feelings a little
yeah.
bit. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. talk about those moments.
Yes.
And I 100% agree with you. I even came to the realization of what I don't want to happen is he feels like home, exactly what you're saying, home
yeah.
should be a place for him to let down. And if I'm going, well, I don't like when you do this and this
yeah.
irritates me and this irritates me, but he's so accustomed to this is what he knows, to leave his socks right here or to do this and this. And those people that like don't have a husband or have even lost a husband, it's like turning that into a moment of gratitude. Like,
yeah.
Lord, thank you that I have a husband to pick up his socks. Like, and yeah.
Or even if you need to have that conversation, like, hey, would you mind, like, I'll give you an example. Our washer, like if you shut the door, it gets really stinky and gross.
Yeah.
sometimes the boys just, they don't think, they shut the thing and it's no big deal. But yeah. Like, then I have to clean it out. So I'm like, hey, would you mind, like, if you can remember, would you mind trying to open it? And here's why.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sure, no problem. Instead of being like, every time you
leave that,
like, instead of just having grace, their mind is running on all these other things. 100%. What's that happening at work or the stress of this? Like, just showing compassion. Yeah. And that keeps the unity, but you still are addressing the issue.
Totally, totally. This actually leads into the fifth principle, which is solve your solvable problems.
There you go.
So that's exactly what you're saying. It's, hey, this would really love me better. You, like, I would feel really loved if you could just work on leaving the washer open, because it's less work for me in the long run to have to clean it out. So even asking your spouse, like, hey, Jordan and I try to do these check-ins, which we're not always great at, but like, hey, how can I love you better? Or how have I loved you well this last week? How did I not love you well? And how can I love you better?
Yeah.
Because it just brings it to a place of connection rather than nitpicking.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is practical things, but sometimes it's like, you know what? You said this to me and it just kind of hurt my feelings and I didn't appreciate that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or that kind of just struck a chord in me. It's those small things that you're talking about. So that you can move away from the big, well, you always do this and this and this, and here's my 6 months of proof.
Like, yeah. Well, when we have an awareness for each other, we also have compassion. So like, if you say to your husband, how can I love you better this week? And he's like, you know what, this week is going to be really stressful at work. Oh, okay. So what do you need from me? I just need you to be aware of that and show up. Then we have opportunity to walk that out with them and to like support them in a way that brings life to them rather than disunity. 100%.
It's just being aware of each other and what's going on. Principle six is overcome gridlock. This is just like to understand each other's dreams and core values and not be in this like, well, I know what I know and I don't understand your perspective. Like, instead of being stubborn in your ways, it's like seeking out what is their dream and what do they value, and then how can I support them better?
Yeah.
And then the last principle is to create shared meaning. So supporting each other, like we've talked about, coming up with shared goals together or shared values, even writing them down. Like sometimes I feel like goals like are cheesy, but this year Jordan and I were like, no, we're going to get goals. And I even went as far as I bought a little whiteboard and put it in our closet. And I was like, I'm going to write these because more for me, I'm visual. I want to see them when I go pick up my clothes, I want to look and go, okay, have we worked on this goal? Have we worked on this goal in a few weeks? Have we worked on this goal?
Yeah.
And just keeping that like, hey babe, we said we were going to try new foods. Have we done that? No, we should do that. Oh, we said we were going to invite people over more. Have we had anybody over lately? We should invite someone over.
Yeah. That's
like,
good.
You know, those experiences and all of these things help you have a deep friendship, have mutual respect for each other, and enjoyment for each other's company. It also creates this room for those regular check-ins, and those are the things that bring closeness, intimacy, and unity. Something that Jordan and I have been exploring, I actually saw it as an Instagram reel, and then I was reminded that it's from the Gottmans. It's this concept of connection bids. So the reason I think we're talking so much about connection and unity is because you can't have unity without connection.
Yep.
And a bid for connection is like, it's so funny. I think you can say it either as like a literal, hello, babe, I have a connection bid for you, and make it like a funny thing. Or it's also being aware of subliminal things. So for example, the one I saw on Instagram was connection bid. Like, this person was texting their husband, connection bid, it's raining outside, we should run outside and kiss. And then it was a video of them like running in the rain and just doing a little peck and then coming back inside.
Yeah.
And then it's like, cool. So Jordan and I have been doing this where I like text him, hey, connection bid, let's like, I don't know, whatever, go watch the sunset. And he's like, okay, comes outside with me. And then he looks at me and he was like, connection bid, accepted. We're like, met. Yes. So you can make it funny like that. Or just being aware that when your spouse is like, hey, do you want to go on a walk with me? It's not, oh, they just want something to do. It's they're offering a moment for connection.
Yeah.
And there's actually studies that show the more connection bids that are met and like successfully accepted, the more successful your marriage is.
I have a good one that we did. I didn't know about connection bids. I know about connection, but I realized like as you're talking, like, oh, totally what? So we went to the beach a few weeks ago and I really wanted to like have a picnic on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And so we waited till the last night just because that's what we had planned. But it was freezing that night and the wind was going. But Jamie knew. He could tell that I really wanted to do this. And he kept saying, no, it's fine, babe. It's fine. Let's do it. So we sat out there with blankets and sweatpants on trying to eat our Indian food, like literally shivering with my battery operated candles. Aww. But we had the funnest time and it became a meaningful little moment because I could tell that he knew it was important to me and it brought that connection.
Exactly. Even I know I'm not that far into our marriage journey at 2 years, but we had a conversation recently where it's like, oh, we realize that our lives have become very routined. Mm. And A, we feel way too young to not be like doing fun, silly things. And also Jordan was able to vocalize, like, I think I'm feeling a little disconnected because we're not doing fun and silly things. We're just like doing work, taking care of the house, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I was like, at first I was gutted, like, but I'm like, no, you're right. Like, we have not been doing fun things. Okay, so what's fun? And so then we've come up with a list of like things we can go along. And that's why we kind of, in the same day, I found this reel about connection bid. So now it's kind of why we're making a funny joke where even on our shower note, I'm like, connection bid, like, let's pillow fight. Like, you know, just come up with fun things. So the more bids met, the better connection that you have. That's a fun and silly way to stay connected and to maintain that unity. Another important thing is to have gratitude. We touched on it before, but your unity will grow when you guys are honoring of each other. And a really good way to honor your spouse is just to be thankful for them. I think do this in prayer, like thank the Lord for your spouse, but also let them know. It's that thing again of expressing your thoughts where you might think, oh, that's really cool that they took out the trash. Say it out loud. Babe, thank you so much for taking out the trash.
Yeah.
Or if you're talking to your wife, like, babe, thank you so much for just cooking and being on top of meals. Like, that means a lot.
I think it'd take a step further, even as much as you have gratitude towards them. It's gratitude to recognize they are one of God's kids as well. And I think sometimes, especially in a marriage relationship, we can treat each other in ways that we wouldn't treat anyone else. And one day the Lord really challenged me and was like, he is my son first and foremost. And I was like, thank you that you made him. Like, thank you that you made him the way he is.
Yeah.
Like, and quickly, like, I began to just show gratitude to the Lord for this human being that he created. But then it turned my heart back towards Jamie and been like, there have been times where instead of me actually celebrating who God created him to be, it's like, oh, I was trying to change you into something I thought you should be versus who God's made you to be.
Yeah. And that type of gratitude is even worship to the Lord.
Mm.
And I think there was a study, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I've heard a study of like really happy people practice gratitude very often. Yes,
I have heard that.
So it's even like waking up and being like, Lord, thankful for this. I'm thankful. And coming up, not just going, I'm thankful for my husband at the end. Sometimes that's great, but like, I'm so thankful that his brain works in this way.
Yeah.
The next day, I'm so thankful that he leaves his sock on the ground. Like, you know, just...
I'm thankful that turning he has a cute
turning
face
that heart. Yeah, like turning that heart.
Nice body. Sorry. Okay, I'll stop.
Okay, listen, I know we're talking about marriage, but you're also my mom. And again, we've touched on this before, but just to hit it again, you will maintain your unity by managing your conflict, not avoiding it.
Mm.
So we've already talked about how to talk about some of those things. But another thing to say is it is okay to turn to counseling.
Yes.
In a state of desperation, but also in not a state of desperation. Jordan and I recently went and did marriage counseling, not really because we were like in crisis about anything, but just because we were like, hey, we've been married for over a year now. Let's just go do a check-in and make sure that we're on the same page. We feel like we are, but let's get an outside perspective, a professional, and maybe he can help us explore some topics that we haven't thought about. And that's exactly what happened. It wasn't like all these issues came bubbling up of like massive things, but it was like, oh, you know what? Yeah, we actually weren't on the same page in this area. Oh, we actually haven't considered this question. And even don't be ashamed to turn to people for help. If you are in a state of, I don't know what to do. If you find yourself running in circles about the exact same topic multiple times, I would maybe reach out for help, you know, or friends, counseling.
I think it's good to find someone who will speak in objectively.
Yes.
So by that, I mean, don't go running to your girlfriend complaining about your husband.
Oh, yes.
And asking for advice, but then kind of talking him down, because that does not speak to the unity in your marriage. So get help, but be selective about who you actually share those things with.
Can I say something that might be a little controversial?
Sure. Let's just do it.
What I really don't like is the type of language where it's like, well, oh, I'm in the doghouse. Oh, the husband's in the doghouse. I know that that maybe started as a flippant thing, but I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Because it just makes me feel like it doesn't feel degrading. Unifying. It feels degrading. And it's like, hey, you know, you're on the same team. You're not his mother. So why are you getting him in trouble like this? Yeah. I understand.
No, I get
sometimes
that.
It's playful, but I think when you're talking about don't talk down about your husband, it's making me like think, yeah, to maintain unity, we maintain that honor. And to honor my husband is to cover him and not be out here, oh, he does this and this and this. I'm not like, obviously we're saying talk to friends if you need help, but
choose the friends you know are going to speak life and not going to just side with you and take you down a rabbit trail that's not going to
And processing through issues are very different from gospel.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
You can do that in a way that's honoring.
Yeah. So this is just, like we said, the very surface. I am excited to do part two where we just go in way deeper.
We're gonna dive a bit deeper.
And glean a lot more from mom's experience in her century. Is 100 years a century? Let's pretend it is.
Yes.
And a quarter of a century, over a quarter of a century marriage.
Wow. That makes me feel old.
Oh, don't feel old. No, you're fabulous.
I'm not old.
You're fabulous.
I'm about to be fabulous in 50. And
fabulous
I'm living
50?
It up big.
You are 50 this year.
I know.
Oh my goodness. That's so exciting. That's so exciting.
My best years are ahead.
Amen. So just remember, unity, you're on the same team. Connection, bids for connection.
Yes.
All the good stuff.
That's such a good idea.
Mom, would you pray for people who are married and not married? All the people?
Lord, I thank you that you created marriage as a gift between a man and a woman. And so, Father, we just want to take a minute to thank you for that gift that you have given, Lord. And I pray over marriages, Lord. I pray for those marriages that are in need of help, who are on rocky ground, that Father God, you would bring restoration to them. Father God, you would surround them with people that will speak life into them, Father God. And I pray for even that man or woman who is longing to be in a marriage relationship, who hasn't been able to have that season yet, Father God. I just thank you for those spouses that they are waiting for, Father God, that you would continue to do a work in their hearts as they are in the waiting season, Father. And we just pray a blessing of peace over the marriages, Father God, that what the enemy has tried to bring disunity in places, Lord, that we kind of just want those hidden things to be revealed in the dark places to be exposed, that your light would shine bright, and that, God, marriages would really be a beacon of hope for the world to see of what you give as a gift. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you have questions or thoughts that you'd love to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. You can message us on our Instagram at thehomeproject.co. You can also head over to our website, which is thehomeproject.co, and put your email in there and join the community to stay up to date with what we're doing. We look forward to having you listen to next week's part two.